gonna get started here. Before we do, Aaron Kovalchuk, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Okay, great. So we'll do a quick roll call. So we'll start with the people in the room. So this is Ida Royer. I'm gonna be leading the meeting today for Fenton, who's in training. And then
David Griffith.
Scott Fielding.
Jeremy Britton.
Kelly James.
Okay, and then who do we have on the phone? I know we have Aaron. We have Aaron Kovalchuk, Natalie Richards, Greg Taylor. Who else?
Mike Hudson, Fish and Wildlife.
Bob Pierce.
Warren Schwabe with Grand Run.
Elise Kelly, ODFW.
Okay, is that everyone? All right, so the first item of business is finalizing the July meeting notes. Did everybody on the phone have a chance to review them? And does anybody have any objections to approving them? All right, going on.
This is Mike, no objection.
Okay. So we'll consider them tentatively approved, assuming I don't believe ODSW is on the line, so we'll verify with them, and then...
Elise.
Okay. So I guess we'll consider those approved. Before we go through the agenda, are there any items that anybody would like to add? Okay. So I guess we'll get started with Fall Creek. Natalie?
Yeah, okay, so we're in the situation that we were last time. We have some repairs to make on the Crowder, and that's going to happen sometime late September. And I understand from talking to Greg Garlitz and Chad Helms that we have very few fish that we're passing these days. I think on the 2nd there were just a couple trout when I was going to go down and look at the facility. So that's where we're at on Fall Creek, and then we're going to still have meetings about the pipelining, which won't start until October. Are there any questions for me?
How many fish have returned? Maybe Greg? No.
Only about 80, Griff. Been kind of a disaster.
Not good.
Worst return we've had since I've worked here. So, yeah, kind of a bummer.
Okay, anything else on Fall Creek? Then we'll move on. Okay, thanks, Natalie. We'll move on to Foster. Fenton provided me with a couple updates. So the fishery weir was closed on June 15th for the summer. Weir ops will begin again in October for the winter and fall study, fall-winter study. No issues have been reported, and then I believe Fenton sent out the 100% DDR, the final DDR, to the Willamette Fitterwake for their records. And then the AFF ladder update, we're waiting for the PDT to get set up, hopefully before the end of the summer, and the PDT will investigate means of improving ladder efficiency and overall trap efficiency. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, well, we're just rolling right along. So moving on to Detroit temperature control and DSP, I'll let Griff handle that.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So as an update, and Kelly, feel free to add anything, we're having some public meetings this week, also August 22nd in Gates and August 23rd in Salem. The meeting tonight is in Staten. And these meetings are going to provide the list of alternatives that have been considered and are being evaluated through the NEPA process. And sorry, let me back up. The reason you're getting an update from me is both Jeff and John are down at the meetings. John was up all night for evaluations at the dowels for the auxiliary water supply valves. He was out there commissioning those. So as many of you are probably aware, we've run into some major impacts associated with different construction methods. And so the team's working through evaluating alternatives to try to minimize those. And it's taken the team back a step or two, and we're re-examining some alternatives. One would be construction in the wet, and the other is also construction in the wet, but relocating the intake tower to the face of the dam. This was deprioritized earlier because of seismic concerns, but now it's looking like this alternative is more viable given some of the impacts for the drawdown, and also if you look at economic impacts using the drawdown construction method. Did I characterize that right, Kelly? Anything else? So because of this, that's had an impact to the schedule. Unfortunately, we don't have a firm date for what that change is at this time, and we're hoping at the September Fitterwig to give you guys a new schedule based off of the latest evaluations the team's done on these new alternatives or reevaluation of the old alternatives. So we've received your 60% comments on the floating screen structure. Thank you very much. The team's in the process of evaluating those comments and addressing them. See what else John had here. I think that's about it. And then I think that's it for Detroit. Did I miss anything, Kelly? Okay. Any questions I can try to answer for you guys?
Hey, Grep, this is Mike Hudson. Could you just elaborate a little bit on this change in design? You're talking about moving the tower, and
right.
You're not having to have the drawdown. I mean, how does this change? I mean, just in a nutshell, if you could.
So I will do my best. Keep in mind you don't have the right people in the room, but my understanding is the attachment of the tower to the dam was a front runner early on in some of our initial feasibility analyses, like way back, going way back to the COP, like even before the EDR. But there was some serious concerns raised about how that addition to the face of the dam would affect the dam safety given different seismic events. And in order to make that alternative work seismically, they'd have to do some huge upgrades to the monolith. And so at that time, it was thought that it wasn't a viable alternative given all the changes that would have to happen to the dam, so it was deprioritized. Does that make sense?
Coming
back up
based
now.
Based on what you guys have been hearing in the public meetings thus far and from the congressional delegation.
It's definitely in response to that, right? So when we examined kind of the leading alternative as far as ease of constructability, it had some pretty significant downstream impacts, especially considering the flows that we were looking at.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it's absolutely in response to a lot of those concerns and comments. Is that right, Kelly? So I mean, the bottom line is, it's unfortunate that we've had a bump in the schedule, but the good thing is it's showing that the NEPA process is working, and that, you know, the team's going through and trying to find the best path through the woods here. It's a very complex problem that the team's working on.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. people into Hyde-Head Bypass?
Sure.
Great. So Hyde-Head Bypass, the team is working towards an internal 30% milestone for what we're calling our design parameter report. And so this report is what we're going to use to help scope an EDR effort for both Cougar and Detroit. So we're hoping to complete this 30% milestone this month and provide the region an update at either the September or October FITTERWIG meetings. 60% report, it's the internal review would occur mid-September to mid-October, and our hope is to get it to the region for review by early November, maybe a little bit earlier, so that we can help stagger it with the Cougar review. No problem.
So September or October, we're getting to the 30%, and you guys are working on the 60%, which would then come out like November.
So we're,
I cannot hear that woman who was just speaking. She needs to come a little closer to the microphone.
It's Melissa, and she was asking me to sort of restate the dates. So the 30% milestone is next week.
So we'll get back to
No, there's...
There
isn't a regional review for that, but there will be a update to the region at the September or October date. So this isn't like an EDR or a DDR. Okay. Basically, we're helping set the parameters for what it looks like is we're likely going to contract out EDR designs for Cougar and Detroit. And so that EDR is going to examine feasibility. And so this is going to sort of set the bounds of that examination of feasibility. And so our internal milestone is basically having a fleshed out outline and a table of the different parameters we're going to use. The 60% design, we're hoping to have an actual report for you guys to look at. So we thought about trying to send out something for the 30% design, but there really isn't going to be much there. And I think we can pretty much convey everything that's in the 30% design in a like 30-minute update to you guys in September, October. So then we're going to start scoping these EDRs here this fall, concurrent with the 60% effort, so that when we complete the report, we're hoping to complete the report end of January, we can go right to contracting with scopes for the EDRs. So concurrent with this, we have another effort because Cougar is so far in front of the Hyde-Head team. We're working closely with the Cougar PDT to try to identify important features that we need to include in the current design to try to make the floating screen structure able to accept potential future bypass if it's feasible. If that makes sense. So, you know, a lot of moving parts with Hyde-Head Bypass, and it's going to be a pretty quick progression through the design parameter report. But hopefully we're staying on track with this schedule because we want to also try to stay out in front of Detroit on this. Yes. And that's it for Hyde-Head Bypass. Any more questions? Thanks, guys.
Okay, so we have Anna and Melissa that joined us in the room. Is there anybody who joined us on the phone since we started?
Ida, what are their last names, Anna and Melissa?
Ann Mullen and Melissa Jones.
Oh, okay, thank you.
That's Erin Kobolchuk. She's taking notes for us.
Oh, hi, Erin.
Okay. So we're going to then move to Cougar, and I'm going to move the phone over to Scott here so people can hear him.
Good morning. So back in the July Fitterwig meeting, we presented a proposed release site below Cougar, and some of the questions, and if you remember, the proposed site was, there were several different things that we liked about this proposed site. Was it was behind a lock gate, there was pavement already in place, and we had flushing flows at the adult facility that we can use for our release pipe. And a couple questions came up was, what were the flows there and the depths in the tail race? So on July 17th, Todd Pierce, Ricardo Walker, and myself took a trip down there to measure flows and depths. And so we were about 90 feet downstream from the adult facility and took three different measurements in this area. We measured 6 feet, 10 feet, and 15 feet from the shore. And we had depths of 1.8 feet, 2.1 feet, and 3.4 feet were the depths in those areas. Velocities, obviously, as you're near the shore, it was less than 1 foot per second. And at the 15 feet from shore, it was 3.2 feet per second, which comes pretty close to the criteria that we wanted to meet of 3 to 4 feet per second. We also dropped oranges, telltale way to measure flows down there at the adult facility, and measured the time that they took to get through this area. And flows were about 3 to 4 feet per second. So I'm working on a write-up of all of this information that we can send to the Fitterwig group. And what I will do is I will send out a doodle poll to all the region and try to get another site visit set up down there so people can actually see this area that we were at. So I'm not sure when that'll be. I'd like to do it by sometime next month. So, oh, and those velocities that we measured, the dam output was 300 CFS, which is the minimum biop flow for this time of year. So I will send out a doodle poll and see if we can't get a site visit to see this area firsthand.
You said, well, just real quick, the 3.2 feet per second, that was 15 feet from the shore.
15 feet from the shore, that was the deepest part of the tail race that we found there. It's in this nice hole right there.
So at that location, it was about 3 feet deep.
Yep.
Cool.
Thanks. At 300 CFS, which is minimum flows for Cougar.
I was going to throw out a date that we had been trying to internally get some people to go down and see some of the facility, September 12th and 13th. So if either of those work, that'd be great. And I hadn't contacted you guys yet because I was trying to iron out and like coming and get our dates. It ties into, you know, having the travel amount released and available. And so I don't know if that works for you too, Melissa.
Oh, I'll be the only person pretty much left, so I'll have a lot of travel money.
So we're making 2 dates available so that people can go overnight. They need that date of the 12th for the overnight. If they're there on the afternoon of the 12th or the morning of the 13th.
What's the purpose of this one? Who is it?
Chris Fontecchio from our general counsel, and possibly the DOJ lawyer too. I'm not sure about that. And we are going to be connecting with people. Oh, Northwest Power Planning Council had some people down there already, like Leslie Bach and Carl Lee. They thought maybe even one of the people from the Power Planning Council meeting might join us the afternoon of the 12th. So that date worked out with them. And I think Kelly Reese knew about it also. So trying to get some people who will be looking at documents to see things in the flesh or the rock or the river.
So is this being coordinated as a steering team too, or do we need to
this
put
is really
this?
Me just getting started.
Okay.
So yeah,
so
I don't know how
let others
you
know.
Want to make it, but if there's another thing going on the same day and you guys are looking at it, we could either get in your way or just observe. And yeah, thank you,
okay.
Chris, to let us know and try to see who might be there.
So I will work with Todd Pierce, too, and myself to make sure one of us can be there, because since Todd was there helping measure the, he knows the area well, too. So
that'd be awesome. And it doesn't work out with your dates for the people who need to be at yours. Like, that'd be more important for Melissa to be at what you're doing than what I'm trying to do, which is very, you know,
well, I really think that, well, Chris and I work
on passage for years, so I think he's going to have a lot of questions he's going to want to ask me.
Yeah, that'd be great to do that whole trip.
Yeah, I am scrambling, but I would like any of those trips, I would like to have a heads up on.
Okay, yeah, I guess we talked about it internally. That means he missed, so I'll send you an email on it too.
So any questions on this release site that in the flows that we saw down there?
Does anybody know, without my...
I just want some eyeballs on it.
Over 300 CFS by then? Because the Corps will be trying to draw it down. Ever fill.
Graves on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
What was the question, Ann?
What would you expect at that time of year, if, given that Cooper didn't fill, so there's not a lot of drawdown needed? I mean, there's still drawdown for flood control, I guess, but...
Right now?
No.
What time of the year are you wanting to know about the flood?
September?
No, so September we keep flow at minimums to make sure that we, per the biop, so that we make sure that we don't dewater reds in flood off subsequent to that. So it'll be low flows. It may come up a little bit. The challenge we've had this year is that we dramatically pre-drafted the reservoir to support main stem flows, but also for Kate and the Forest Service project that's down there. So at this point, we barely have enough water to use the temp tower for the rest of the year. So we can't, we're going to even struggle to even support putting some extra water down for her project that she wanted. But yeah, the flows are going to be low. They're going to be 300 to 400 CFS at best.
Hey, Greg, this is Jeff. We're not going to do that flushing flow down through there.
Yeah, I was going to have to call you and tell you we couldn't support it anyway.
Okay, good. Serendipity, because I thought that was it was kind of an interesting idea, but totally unnecessary. So.
Okay. Yeah, we're out of water.
Okay, any other questions for Scott or anyone else on that topic? So Scott will send out a poll for...
Yep.
Possibly mid-September. So then we're going to move on to the DDR schedule. I'll let Jeremy take it.
Okay, thank you. Jeremy, I'm the CL for the DDR phase of the Cougar Downstream Passage project. And I wanted to talk about the schedule, the review schedule for the 90% DDR. And I sent out, I kind of debated whether I should do this or not, but I sent out kind of our large review schedule, and the reason I did this was not, I don't intend to go through all this and explain it all, but I wanted to kind of show that we have a lot of reviews starting pretty soon and going through the end of the calendar year. I just wanted to kind of show where some of the reviews that this group is going to do kind of fit in the context of all the rest of the schedule. And I think we have about six kinds of reviews. We have three of them are within the Corps. We have an in-section review, our district quality control, and ATR, agency technical review. That's where a group of folks outside of the Portland District review the product. And then the external reviews are BPA, this group, the region, the fish agencies, and we're doing an independent external peer review. So that's the folks outside of the agency looking at the product, totally independent and external. So again, I don't want to really go through all this, but I just wanted to kind of show that there's a kind of a difficult game to move around dates and things and try to fit all these reviews into a time period that works to keep our overall project schedule on track.
Yeah.
Well, we're starting the in-section review, which is where in the Corps, in our office, say hydraulic design, we have a hydraulic design section of the report. The hydraulic design section will review their section chapter to kind of vet it and make sure that it's good. That's the first level of review. That starts this month on the 20th, August 20th. And then the end of the review period is December 31st.
Burning the midnight oil.
So the two reviews that I wanted to highlight are the BPA review, which is going to start October 1st, and the what I've called the region review. I don't know if that's the right thing to call it, but it's all the fish agencies. That review starts November 5th, and each of those reviews are about a month in duration. So I don't know if anybody, I didn't catch if anybody from BPA is on the call. But okay, so that'll be a month. The region review will start November 5th and go through the end of November, and then we'll spend the month of December updating the report based on those comments, responding to the comments, and back-checking, having you all back-check the comments. So that by the end of December, the goal is to have our completed 90% DDR that's gone through all these reviews. And I wanted to get this in front of folks earlier rather than later, just because to kind of get everybody, get resources lined up to be able to do the review in November. And I also, I think we wanted to talk about the EA, the review of the EA as well.
Yeah, so the cooperating agency review, I originally planned to overlap with the EOR-DCR review. The region's review, November 5th through the 30th, just because I assumed you might want to be able to cross-reference the two documents while you do your review. However, if that is kind of overloading all of you with two giant documents, we could potentially overlap my own district quality control review with your review. You'll just get a rougher version of the EA. You won't have, you know, a review already done on it. It'll just be its first draft form, basically. So I thought I'd just open that up for the cooperating agencies to provide their input on what they would prefer.
I think it's okay as long as we get, you know, updates as this potentially changes. I can, you know, if you guys run up against different timetables or whatever, just let us know so we know it's coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you would like it at the same time you get the DDR?
Can I check with Diana since she might be the lead on the EA?
Okay, so can I make a point though, because I think it could be more efficient because we'll have one set of comments versus reiterating ourselves.
Okay, because I thought there might be technical comments from agency review that might differ from EA comments depending on what's in it.
Potentially, but it's one spreadsheet and we could highlight, you know.
EA versus,
You guys just want one spreadsheet back for both of those?
Either whatever's easiest for you, honestly. If you want to do them separately and have a separate EA spreadsheet, that's fine. I can also go through a single DDR EA spreadsheet and find
out. However it works out, that just none of my two cents.
But I still would like to take you up on your offer of the earlier version of it because it gives us a more spread out time than even if we respond to them together. And that would be nice depending on people's time in the office or out of it.
Is there any opportunity to do a walkthrough of the meeting?
Of the EA?
Yeah, it always helps warm up the review process too. Make sure.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember? So agency technical review is which agency?
The ATR there, that one. That's the core as an agency.
Okay.
And that one is it's our independent review where another district of the core reviews Portland District's work.
Another district, and that can overlap with BPA as you have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess we also should schedule kind of an orientation meeting in the beginning of November to update the group on any changes in the design or just things that we think are important to focus on. Kind of what you're describing, just to orient, warm people up.
We do that at the October Fitter Week?
That'd be awesome. Get us ready.
Yeah.
That way they, you know, I wouldn't want to try to do it at the November Fitter Week, but maybe the October Fitter Week.
Okay.
Will it be in a shape to be able to do that at that point?
I think so. It'll be, I mean, it'll be in an earlier phase of review, but I think that'll work.
Even if you just hit the changes.
Yeah, I think that'll work.
Yeah.
So the Fitter Week, these meetings usually happen in the beginning of the month, so that'd be kind of near the beginning of October.
We could always do a special Fitter Week, too, if we so choose. It'll end of October. I guess internally we should probably discuss that.
Yeah, I imagine that doing a walkthrough of the DVR and the EA would be a long meeting.
Okay.
So maybe at the next meeting we can have an update of how we can kind of talk internally and decide what's best as far as one separate meeting or as part of the October Fitter Week.
Yeah, I don't know when we do it, but I want to do it sometime. Okay. I think it's very valuable.
Yeah, we can talk about where that venue, what venue that is too.
Okay. All right. So we'll stay tuned to hear more about that. Perhaps at the September, we'll just try and have something figured out by September. So any other inputs or comments for Jeremy or Kelly about from the cooperating agencies on the EA schedule?
This is Mike. I'm good with whatever you guys decide.
Oh, I should mention, in addition to the EA, we'll also have those Diane's not here. Identification summaries. They didn't want to call it a BA because it's under the bio.
It is effects analysis.
They didn't like that. Diana, talked to your old lawyers and your Section 7 specialists and she basically said it's a take identification. So it's just looking very closely at what the take might be for the specific project so that you guys can understand whether it fits under the existing BIOP or if they need to modify the take statement. So those are very short documents, and I'm assuming we'll get those to you guys at the same time as the EA, as like an attachment, basically. So I just wanted to
reword what I said.
Okay. We're still working on it, but it'll be for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and NIMS for Section 7.
We had
full
trout.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that anything else on the scheduling? Okay, so I guess that's it for today. The next Fitterwig meeting is September 4th, which is right after Labor Day. Everybody will be nice and rested. most of the reviews have already been covered, so I guess Scott will send a doodle poll. We'll discuss internally our orientation meeting for the ER and have that by September. Anything else?
I had a quick Fall Creek question, maybe for Greg.
Okay.
Is there spawning below the dam and reservoir there, Greg?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I noticed you mentioned the temperature is having to switch back to cold after getting some warm until probably September when they start to draw the whole thing down. It will still stay cold.
You're talking at Cougar, right?
Well, actually, I was talking about Fall Creek, just curious about it.
Yes, there is some spawning below Fall Creek. It's usually under 10 reds a year.
Nothing like Cougar.
No.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it does bounce around, and just based on the elevation of the reservoir and where those ports are. Right now, it's quite cold. It's warming slightly. But the temperatures will be quite warm in the fall. They always are, because that feature, although it can do some temperature control, it's not very effective overall.
And once you lose that elevation with the fish horns, it's gone, right?
It just doesn't do a great job overall. So there's always a very significant warming in the fall, as if because even though we do some temperature work there, it's not like having an actual tower.
Yeah.
So it's not nearly as effective.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions before we adjourn? All right, well, thanks everybody.